Good. I'm preaching from 1 Samuel 16 on seeking the Lord's wisdom. And wisdom is one of the most precious assets that you can possess. It's a treasure. There are whole books of the Bible devoted to wisdom, like Proverbs. Proverbs 16:16 says, it's much better to get wisdom than gold. And to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. So think of wisdom as wealth. When you use it, you get more wealth. You need wisdom to make good decisions. You need wisdom to see into situations, to discern how things really are. But this does not mean that all wisdom is good. 1 Corinthians 3 explains that the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. Ephesians 5 says, don't be foolish, be careful to be wise. And then he gives the key. It says, understand what the Lord's will is. Bad wisdom seeks direction against the will of the Lord. Well, James 3 puts jealousy and selfish ambition into that category, and it says, this wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic wisdom, that where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there's disorder and every evil thing. But then James says, the wisdom from above is pure and it's full of good fruits. Over and over, Scripture urges you to be wise with godly wisdom. Seek the Lord's wisdom for guidance. Love his wisdom. Cherish it. Use it. So where do you go to get this wisdom of the Lord? From the same scriptures urging you to get it. And the mother lode is waiting for you to mine out of God's word. But it's up to you to get it. God's not going to just inject wisdom into your head. It comes from knowing scripture, from reading the Bible, listening to sermons, Bible teaching, Bible studies, learning the wisdom that's waiting for you. And once learned, it becomes your wisdom. But there's something else about seeking the Lord's wisdom and getting it, and loving it, cherishing it, using it. It's also your calling from the Lord. You're called to be wise. I'm called to be wise. We are called to be good stewards of godly wisdom. You're called to be a wisdom bearer. You use it. Not just for yourself, but to help others. So think about this. God just doesn't say it's really good to be wise. You're called to get it and use it for God's glory. Proverbs 4:5 says, get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget. Do not turn away from the words of wisdom. And so it presents wisdom like a woman. Her first name's wisdom. Her last name's insight. It says, get wisdom, do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. It says the beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. Well, that's the calling. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. And then it says, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a covering of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. And then it says, take hold of instruction. Don't let it go. To get instruction for our calling, we're going to look at God's word in 1 Samuel 16. Now, the setting is that God rejected Saul from being king over Israel. In God's wisdom, God chose another king. Prophet Samuel has been grieving over Saul's sin, grieving over his foolishness and the fact that God rejected Saul's leadership. Wisdom teaching for all of us is in this backdrop. So prepare your heart for this sermon. Seek the Lord's wisdom to guide you. Let's pray. Lord, we just ask that you give us the wisdom, that we get it from you, and that we utilize the wisdom that you give us as good stewards in our calling. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in the opening chapter of 16 in 1 Samuel, the Lord's wisdom guided the prophet priest Samuel. And the Lord indicated to Samuel that Samuel had grieved for Saul long enough. In God's words of wisdom in Ecclesiastes, it says there's a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. Well, now God's imparting wisdom to Samuel, and the time to weep and mourn is over. God told Samuel, get your anointing oil. There's work to do. God's sending Samuel on a new mission for a new time. It's not weeping, it's not mourning, but it's not exactly a time to laugh and dance either. It was something in between, a time of walking in faith in God's call. And that same thing is for you and me. It's time for us to walk in faith in God's call, to go on God's mission, to get a job done that needed to be accomplished. It was a walk of sober-minded wisdom from above. God told Samuel, go to a man named Jesse in Bethlehem. And in his wisdom, God already chose another king to replace Saul. God chose one of Jesse's sons. Now, the thing about this is that we see God's wisdom working to this point from back generations beforehand, back when the Israelites entered the promised land. You know, with our wisdom detectors on, so to speak, we can consider their first encounter with God's enemies. We're looking back, way back, generations before Jesse. We're looking at when they enter the promised land, the Israelites, and we see Jericho. And Rahab the prostitute lived there. And she helped the Israelites defeat Jericho, to defeat her own people, because, in faith, she knew they were foolishly rejecting the one true God. But she believed in the one true God, and so Rahab tapped into the wisdom of God. And in that wisdom, she honored the true God of Israel over the fake gods of her own people. Then an Israelite man named Salmon wisely married Rahab. And so Rahab became part of the Israelite people, God's people. Salmon and Rahab had a son named Boaz. Boaz was also known for godly wisdom. And in God's wisdom, Boaz also wisely married a converted pagan, a woman who had turned to the one true God of Israel, and her name was Ruth. Now remember, we're looking at the wisdom of God from generations before Jesse's son was chosen by God to be the next king. Well, back then, Boaz and Ruth had a son named Obed. Obed was the father of this man, Jesse, that Samuel was going to. And this is all God's wisdom. And so now, look at generations ahead. We've looked in the past. We're looking at with Samuel going to Jesse. Now look generations ahead for God's wisdom in all this too. In his wisdom, God ordained that through Jesse's son, the earthly lineage was to continue down to Jesus, God's only begotten son, the Christ, the Messiah, who the Bible calls the wisdom of God. In 1 Corinthians 1:24, who Colossians 2:2-3 says, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And so God's wisdom was working from generations before, even before his creation from the beginning of time. And then Jesus, in the future, became the redemptive fulfillment to sit on the kingly throne as spiritual king of Christians, and the king for all God's people through history and the afterlife experience of his perfect kingdom. So according to all this divine wisdom, God told Samuel to go anoint the new king from among Jesse's sons, the one that fulfilled God's wisdom from the past and the one that's fulfilling God's wisdom going into the future. But Samuel said, how can I go? When Saul hears about me, he will kill me. Well, a wisdom lesson's here. When you go forward in life, you have obstacles, you have questions, and you have fears. I have fears. And you will question how to go on. And it's very wise to question things. But here's the problem. Fear can trip us up so much that we can start looking at answers through skewed wisdom, wisdom that's letting fear tell us what to do. And so the lesson is to seek the Lord's wisdom to guide you through the obstacles and the questions and through the fear, through the way things appear. Let your reactions be governed by Him. So fear is there, but you know where to go for the stable guidance. You go to the Word of God. You go to the Bible. That's God's Word. And so circumstances can make it so tempting to think in terms of worldly wisdom fixes first that you just go to God's word later, or you don't consider God's word at all. But that's not what God wants us to do. That's not wisdom. Go to God's word first. Seek a wisdom principle to lead you. Seek a comforting word to guide you in faith. It's there. Use resources to help you find it. Mine it out and then keep it. Now you have God's wisdom to act upon in faith. Well, that's how to go forward. Well, Samuel was afraid of Saul. So he's thinking, how can I go? Saul hears about it. He's going to kill me. Well, he's talking to the Lord. So Samuel was seeking God's wisdom. And the Lord answered with wisdom. So God said, go offer the sacrifice in Bethlehem. And it's a sacrifice that was in accord with the peace offerings of Leviticus 3:1. Not an unusual thing. It was a wise thing for Samuel to do. He's supposed to do it anyways. So what the Lord was doing, though, was giving Samuel wisdom. Take a cow for the Levitical peace offering. While you're there, explain that you've come to sacrifice to the Lord. And then invite Jesse and his family. The Lord's going to show you who to anoint as king. Well, the pattern for this was already seen when King Saul was anointed. Saul's anointing followed the sacrifice made by Samuel and Zuph. The pattern was seen again in 11:15. When the people made Saul king, they offered sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord. So Samuel went to Bethlehem after wisely seeking the Lord's wisdom to guide him in what to do through his fear. And the elders of the city came out to meet Samuel. And they were wisely afraid of Samuel because they knew God told Samuel he had torn his kingdom from Saul. They had seen Samuel hack pagan King Agag into pieces. Well, this kind of fear was wisdom from the Lord. They knew God was not happy with the disobedience of King Saul. They knew they needed to take the word of the Lord from Samuel seriously. So they went out to meet Samuel. They didn't know what to expect, but Samuel told them that he had come in peace to sacrifice to the Lord. And he told everyone to come, including Jesse and his sons. Well, King Saul did not go. He didn't meet Samuel, didn't go to the sacrifice, and God knew in his wisdom all along that Saul would not be there. God's wisdom was playing out, and it's always playing out. When Jesse's family got there, Samuel looked at Jesse's son Eliab. Well, Eliab's striking appearance got Samuel thinking he's the one the Lord chose to be king. But this was not God's wisdom. It was Samuel's. He was looking at the way things appear. And so the Lord shared his wisdom with Samuel. It's wisdom we all do well to learn. God said, and listen to this, "Do not look at his appearance or at his height, because I have not chosen him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Well, this contrasts the impressive appearance of Saul way back when he was first seen by Samuel. Well, chapter 9 says Saul was a choice and handsome man, that there was not a more handsome person among Israel. Also, he was taller than any of the people. And even when Samuel pointed Saul out in chapter 10 to the people, it says, "When Saul stood up among the people, he was taller than any of them. And Samuel said, 'Do you see him whom the Lord has chosen? Surely there is no one like him among all the people.'" Well, you know, the Bible gives us these details because human wisdom and what humans are impressed with does not always match God's wisdom and what God's impressed with in his wisdom. What people saw with their eyes was being discerned through skewed wisdom. Well, God chose Saul for other reasons. Why did he choose Saul back then? He wisely chose Saul because, as Samuel said in 10:19, the people had rejected God. And so to get Saul was to get the curse that came with him. God wanted them to experience the wisdom of his warning not to desire a king. God showed them that all the problems he warned them about came with Saul. Now in God's wisdom, his replacement is someone whose heart wisely seeks after God's own heart. In your relationship with Christ Jesus, this is very important, what I'm going to tell you right now. Very important, because this has to do with what God sees in you. This has to do with what he sees in your heart. He sees your heart. So in your relationship with Jesus, seek the wisdom from the Lord to guide you to understand how God sees you. Understand yourself by God's wisdom. You are, as God's wisdom in Hebrews calls it, in his new and better covenant. Before you received and believed, well, you were born in sin, permeated by sin, filled with the earthly, natural, demonic wisdom of spiritual lostness. You were separated from God because of sin. Did not matter how good you looked. God does not see as people see. You see, skewed wisdom deceives by outward appearances. God sees your heart. But before Christ, your heart was like everyone's, a black hole in which the light of Christ was absent. You were spiritually dead in sin. When Jesus saved you, he washed you white as snow. He changed your heart. He illumined it with his glory. He gave you new life. He lives in you as your life, as your righteousness. And so here's what you need to know. It's all the wisdom of God. And in your salvation, God wisely knows you do not do things perfectly. God knows you make mistakes. God knows you sin. God knows you sometimes operate in foolishness. But God also knows that Christ Jesus always lives in your heart. He always sees the new heart he supernaturally recreated. And the Holy Spirit in you is always at work in you. He's always after God's heart even when you fail him. He sees you as forgiven in his son by grace through faith. All of this is the wisdom of God. And so now he teaches you to seek his wisdom principles, okay? To guide you so that you will manifest the life of Christ from your heart. And so this is the wisdom of God in respect to your life in Christ, living the life of Christ. It's not about how good you look. It's not about your pious, your religious appearance. It's not about the height of your so-called spiritual achievements. It's because you are enveloped deep in His grace. And so God does not see you as people see, since people look at the way outward things appear, but the Lord looks at the heart that He has regenerated in His Son. Understand that when He looks at you in Christ, He sees Christ in you as your only hope of glory. If He doesn't see that, then you're not saved at all. And the Scripture gives you more wisdom. Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the high priest of His own priestly order. Well, 1 Peter 2:9 indicates that God made you a priest and king in Him, in Jesus. Well, you need to know this wisdom. God has anointed you to be in His kingly priesthood in His Son. He gave you purpose and callings and opportunities to serve Him. Now, you might not think that you're worthy, capable, or perfect enough. Well, in yourself, you're not. I'm not either. But in God's wisdom, He gave us a new identity in Christ. And as you live in your new identity, serving Him with the heart He's given you, your job is to seek His wisdom to guide you. Well, that's how it works. God wants you to seek His wisdom, to live by His wisdom. And then as you go along, you bring God's wisdom to the lost. You bring it to other Christians. You know, you're showing them, you're directing them, you're urging them, you correct them, you encourage them in the truth, in wisdom. And how do you know that all this is you? Because the wisdom of God, His Word, tells you all these things I'm preaching. Now, looking with God's wisdom back at that day, remember, Samuel and Jesse's family are there. Jesse's next son, Abinadab, he comes out. Lord didn't choose him either. Then Jesse brought out another son. He did this with seven sons. And in His wisdom, the Lord had not chosen any of them. But Samuel knew God's wisdom was at work. So he asked Jesse, you know, is there anybody else? Jesse said his youngest son was out tending the sheep. Well, it was David. And there's something in the Scripture that brings out something that magnifies the whole principle, and we're going to have to look at it with eyes of spiritual wisdom. David's appearance was described in detail. He was described as having a healthy appearance with beautiful eyes and handsome features. Well, this is the reality. So with this reality, the wisdom of God is wanting us to look underneath all that and see the more beautiful reality God was looking at, that God sees. Remember, when Samuel saw the first son just a few moments before, we're told that the Lord said, "Do not look at his appearance. God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And so David was just described by his outward appearance. But David's heart is what God's looking at through all this. David's heart was after God's own heart. And that wisdom is in 13:14. Now remember, that's when Saul was rejected, and it says, "Said the Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people." So David was already appointed in the mind of God back at that time. He just hadn't been anointed yet. So though with that wisdom at work, the Lord told Samuel, "Anoint David to be king." Well, Samuel anointed David right there in front of his family. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward." Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. How amazing. But then we read the exact opposite with Saul. Directly after being anointed as king, Saul rejected God's wisdom over and over and over again. It marked his whole life. Saul operated in the foolishness of man. He operated with a heart that went after earthly wisdom over God's wisdom. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul." So the Holy Spirit came upon David, but it departed from Saul. Wow. But it gets worse. It says that now an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized Saul. Well, this was ordained according to the Lord's wisdom. And God's wisdom kept on being worked out in the whole process. Saul had some attendants, all right? So Saul's attendants evidently were seeking the Lord's wisdom to guide them about what to do. Now remember, that's what God's people are supposed to do. We're supposed to seek the Lord's wisdom to guide us about what to do. Well, Saul's attendants told Saul that it was an evil spirit from God terrorizing him. And so they asked for permission to find a man who could play the harp skillfully. They had gotten wisdom from God. Now they also had further special revelation from God. They told Saul that when the evil spirit from God's on Saul, the man will play the harp and Saul will be well. Well, Saul sent them out to find someone like they're describing. The Lord's wisdom is always at work. And one of the counselors there said he had seen that David, the son of Jesse, was a skillful musician. He also did something very, very interesting. And listen to this. He described David as a mighty man of valor, a warrior, one prudent in speech, and a handsome man. Wow, that's true salesmanship. But it's what kind of wisdom? We already know. See, David was a boy. He's the family shepherd. He was not a warrior. In fact, whenever he went, later we're going to find out in 1 Samuel, he goes out to Saul's army camp back when Goliath was there. His brothers were running him off because you're just here because you want to see what's going on with this war. So he's not a warrior, at least not yet. Saul's counselors were building David up with the things of skewed human wisdom. They're selling David to Saul, in a sense. They're painting a picture for Saul that looked at appearance. It was as man sees. And so it seems they were getting completely off course, right? Way off course. But wait, there actually is more. It's the most important thing the man said, and it came next. It came last. It was when the man employed the wisdom from God as guidance. Here's what he said. And the Lord is with him. Well, see, that little punctuation at the end was really the whole statement of true wisdom. That's what mattered. That was God's calling card of wise insight. Always look for the wise insight. You will find that when you seek the Lord's wisdom to guide you, you will find that it was always at work. And it gives you the principles for the way not to go. It gives you the principles for the way to go. It's always available. It's just that you must seek it and you must operate in obedience. God's wisdom was working in that whole situation. King Saul sent messengers to Jesse to get David. Jesse wisely sent David to Saul, and David stayed with Saul. We're told the outcome. Says Saul loved David greatly. Says David attended him and became his armor bearer. Whenever the evil spirit from God came to Saul, David would play the harp, and Saul would be refreshed, he'd be well, and the evil spirit would depart from Saul. And David, in God's wisdom, was positioned right where God wanted him to be. And so the urging for you in all of this is be biblical in your thinking. Immerse yourself in biblical thinking. Get the wisdom that's in it, you know, but use it. Use it to guide you. Wisdom means nothing unless you do something with it. So get a principle from God's word and make it your action approach. Analyze money situations with God's wisdom. Analyze sexual issues, friendships, everything by God's wisdom. Analyze your marriage by God's wisdom. When you see problems in our country, in our government, think with God's wisdom to get a right perspective. You'll know how to react. You know, you're going to know your part and how to proceed. And like Samuel and like Saul's counselors, you'll be enabled to speak wisdom into other people's lives. It's what God wants you to do. It's your call. That's your stewardship of God's wisdom. Amen?